Brother Bucky over here, they called him, was 16 years of age and got to witness as the Lord called Brother Montoya into the ministry, and Brother Wooten was a part of it. Now, the reason I wanted to level the playing field, Brother Montoya, I'd like you to tell a good story about Brother Wooten, okay? And then Brother Wooten, you get to come after, okay? So you keep that in mind, Brother Montoya. You can tell us a good story about Brother Wooten, but he follows, okay? So after that, and after he tells a story on you, then you come and preach to us, okay? He'll put you in the mood for it, okay? He'll fire you up, brother, okay?
We had a lot of fun at Brother Wooten, and it was always just a blessing there just to have him in the school. And he just he was with us and among us, and really just got involved in what we're doing. He didn't... He looked at us as his ministry, I guess, and we were close in our relationship, not just he and I, but with all the students. I remember him constantly. We'd have lunch together, and he'd sit there across from us or with us at the same table. And I have to admit, most of the stories is really me doing dumb things and him capitalizing on it, because he was real quick to do things and all that sort of thing. But it necessarily isn't a story about him, but one of the things that always comes to mind when I think of Brother Wooten and being in school, one day I was sitting at the testing table, and it was, I don't know if it was Bible reading or what it was, and I couldn't remember an answer, and he came up to me, and he said, "Are you stuck?" And I said, "Yeah," and the word was importunity. Now, I didn't grow up in church or anything like that. He goes, "What do you think the word importunity means?" And I told him the ability to import, and he afterwards, you know, talking about prayer, you import things from God and all that. But we had a good time all the time. One time we went on our senior trip. Now, I've always looked at Brother Wooten as a responsible person, get things done, but he's always been responsible. But one time he lost a student after a basketball game in San Antonio at the Spurs, and it took us, about an hour to find him, right?
Yeah.
About an hour or so, and he was afraid, and he lost a student there after a game there, and so it wasn't me, by the way, and so it was someone else, but we always had a good time, and they liked to pick at me a lot. On that same trip, my mom had made a bunch of beef jerky for the trip for me to eat, but it was in my bag, and I was there in the middle, and I fell asleep, and when I woke up, it was all gone, and it was between him and Crazy Joe was the guy who used to call him Brother Joe Lucero. And I'm not sure if anyone remembers Brother Joe Lucero there, but they ate all my beef jerky, and I still haven't forgotten it. And so he needs to preach a sermon about forgiveness and bitterness there. But we always had a good time. And like I said, most of the stories we have is really me doing something dumb and then him jumping on the opportunity to utilize that. And it's Bucky time. That's what they would say. You know, people have blonde moments, and I would have Bucky moments. And so they'd always say, "It's Bucky time." And so, but we always had a good time. And so, Brother Wooten, it's good to have you here. So.
Amen. Take your Bibles, please, to Acts 27. We'll start there. As you're turning there, I do. I think you've grown to, speaking of growing, you've grown to love Brother Stevan. Of course, a lot in the church, you've known him for a number of years. And earlier, I was getting ready to get on him because Pastor McMath told Brother Stevan to stand up. Stand up, Brother Stevan. But anyway, he did. And I tell everybody, whenever I go, if they know Stevan, I've known him since he was this tall. But anyway, he's still that tall. He, as he goes, he tells people, and he's trying to be polite to me, and I appreciate it. But like he says, I take advantage of every opportunity to pick at him. He tells, you know, "I look up to Brother Wooten." Yeah, well, you look up to everybody, but I know what you're saying there. That was one of his things when he wanted to find a wife, is she has to be shorter than me. And praise the Lord, Miss Eileen is shorter than Brother Stevan, but thank God for that. We're not a good opportunity to be here tonight. I don't have a lot of Stevan stories. I can't narrow them down, so it's hard for me to think of some, and I only have a short time to preach, but anyway, for some reason, he's an easy target for me, and I just appreciate, do you feel bad, Brother Wooten, ever about picking on Brother Stevan? I said, no, because everything I say goes right over his head anyway, so he doesn't have to worry about it. Well, I'm not picking on short people, I'm just picking on Brother Stevan. I like short people, just Brother Stevan's the only one I really like to pick at. As Brother McMath mentioned earlier, and I certainly am not at all trying to correct him, he did say that I was Brother Stevan's principal for many years. Preacher, it was 2 years, but it felt like many, many, many years. I believe you may not believe this. I carry a driver's license that I'm only 46 years old. People look at me and think, well, you're 25, but I'm 46. And they don't believe that, so I carry a driver's license. But the reason I look like I'm this old is because I was Brother Stephon's principal for 2 years. So that's why a lot of pulling the hair out and what has left stayed gray. But been serving the Lord for a few years now, and I'm starting to, I've enjoyed every step of the journey. Some have been very good, some have been very difficult. But now I'm starting to enjoy being in it long enough. I'm starting to see a lot of folks that I invested in younger now, like Brother Stephon, like Brother Armando. I knew his name. I've known him since he was this little. Now he's not that little anymore. But a lot, I look around and see others in the auditorium, then others I'm hearing about around the nation that God is still using. And I don't know if I had any kind of impact in their life, but I was there to watch them grow a little bit. And I'm starting to really, really enjoy it. And it's because I believe God can do some things. That's what I want to preach on tonight, is I believe God. As we get into the message here, first of all, I enjoyed, thank you for the songs we sang tonight, number 20, kind of a standing joke at our church is if you just put, we have the same hymn books, if you open it like this and just let it fall open, it falls open to page 20. We sing that nearly every month there at our church. I love that song. And then 45 years, Brother McMath, how long have you been here at this church? 31 of the 45. Praise the Lord for that. Our church just celebrated in October. We celebrated 10 years at the True Light. Not us, but our church has been there for 10 years. Thank God for it. And it sounds like we had kind of the same humble beginnings, because we have had, nobody robbed our church inside the church while we were there, but as we were in having church, they were breaking into the cars out in the parking lot, and we were on the nice side of Los Lunas. And they broke into, I had a first name base with the police officers in Los Lunas. So we've enjoyed some of the same humble beginnings, and I'm looking forward to God doing great things in our church like he has been doing here for so many years. Thank God for the opportunity to be here. In Acts chapter number 20, real quickly tonight, we're going to read a lengthy portion of scripture. I'll do my best to preach as quickly as possible. But beginning of verse 21 through 37, the Bible says this: "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I have served, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Verse 25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." And here's what I want to preach. I want to preach on this four-word topic tonight. "For I believe God, that it should be even as it was told to me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for you. And there should not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in presence of them all. When he had broken, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all in the ship, 216 souls. Father, thank you tonight. We have a midweek service, God, the opportunity to come and open your word, and God, to get some encouragement, Lord, some challenging, some convicting. Lord, there's many in the room tonight, God, that need some encouragement, Lord, that God been serving you, but every now and then we get tired, we get wore out. But thank you for the encouragement from your word. There's others tonight, God, that are here, maybe just because we got to be here. Lord, we need some help, we need some conviction. God, we need you to do something, a great work in our hearts tonight. I pray that this wouldn't be just another Wednesday night service, God, but it'd be one that you'd meet with us in a very real way, speak to hearts, we pray. Help us to go home different the way we came to church. If there's any among us that do not know for sure, God, that they're on their way to heaven, we pray you'd speak to those hearts tonight. And then others that know they've been born again, God, we pray that you'd take each one. God, thank you for the Holy Spirit that convict each heart. Pray, God, that we'd go home different the way we came to church. We love you. We praise you for all the good that takes place. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about this in the Bible here, a familiar portion to many probably in the room tonight, but there's a phrase that Paul mentions right in the middle
middle of it that I want to go on record and preach on this tonight, for I believe God. There's many things that I cannot believe. That word believe means to put your trust in, to have faith in or faith upon or to entrust. There's a lot of things that I can't believe. I can't believe what I'm hearing in the world today. I can't believe, let me think about this, just a few years ago, hadn't been that long ago, that a man would look around before he'd say a curse word to see if there was any women. An unsaved man would look around to see if there was any women or children in the room before he said any kind of bad word. Now, my goodness, you walk through the McDonald's right around the corner from our church, and those kids that get out of school, I got to walk through it like that because of what they're saying. I can't believe what I'm hearing in the world today. I can't believe what I see going on around us, especially on the TV or the internet news or blogs or social media. I can't believe what's going on there. That Bible verse ought to be our social media verse. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. I can't believe what I'm seeing. Every now and then, I can't believe myself. It's okay to say amen in this church, isn't it? I can't believe myself every now and then. The things that I do, the things that I say, the things that my wicked flesh wants to do, I can't believe that. I can't believe people every now and then. The old discouraged pastor that said ministry would be a lot easier if it wasn't for the people. Amen. Guess what? The ministry is people. And by the way, a problem with me and other people is that we tend to put our trust in other people. We say, I believe people. But then when they cease or they stumble in their walk with God, we start to act like them and start doing some of the same things that made us so mad to begin with. I know you probably never deal and struggle with that, but every now and then that enters my life, and I can't believe what's going on in my own life every now and then. There's a lot of things I can't believe, but one thing I do believe, one thing I know I can believe is this. I know that I can believe God. When we believe in God, I got a long introduction and then hopefully a short message tonight. I can believe God when we do believe God. By the way, as you're going through trials, as Paul went through this struggle in life, he didn't have easy sailing. There was a horrible storm taking place right here. And Paul, in the midst of this storm, it's easy when everything's going well. That one day in your life, when everything's going well, then it's easy to say, yeah, I believe God. But how about we all learn to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ enough to win? We're in the middle of a storm. We can stand by Paul. We can put our arm around him and say, yeah, Paul, me too, for I believe God. When you do, you know what? When you believe God, it's going to bring three things in your life. First of all, it'll bring good cheer. There in Acts 27, verses 22, 25, and 26, be of good cheer. Guess what? You know what? Paul didn't say be of good cheer because the economy's roaring. Be of good cheer because the weather's great. Be of good cheer because of this and that. No, he said, be of good cheer, for I believe God. By the way, after they took some meat, they were of good cheer. Somebody say amen right there. They didn't eat lettuce and get of good cheer. They didn't eat kale and get of good cheer. They took some meat and were of good cheer. Brother, I appreciate the offer to be here tonight on a Wednesday night. It's weird for me not to be in my home church. I'm so glad to be here, though. But I'm about ready to come back up on the 1st. Is that right? Having a barbecue and everything. I might call in sick that day. So if I show up here, don't call the folks at True Light and let them know. Just pretend I'm homesick that day. They took meat and they were of good cheer. But when you believe God, it'll bring good cheer. How about, I'll give you a lot of references tonight. Matthew chapter 9 in verse number 2. Here's what Jesus said. Son, as the four guys brought their buddy in and he healed the man. And he said, sir, be of good cheer. Why? Thy sins have been forgiven. Guess what? If you can't go back to a time when your sins have been forgiven, then you're not going to have a whole lot of good things to cheer about. But if you've ever been born again by the good grace of God, you've got everything in the world to be glad about. What did Jesus tell the disciples? Hey, don't get excited that the angels are subject, that the demons are subject to you. No, rejoice rather that your names are written in the book of life. That'll bring some good cheer. When you believe God, hey, who's the one that said you get born again, you're saved forever? It was God. When you believe God, that'll bring some good cheer. In Matthew 14:27, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Hey, when you're going through that storm and Jesus walks up beside you and says, it is I, be not afraid. That's going to bring some good cheer in your life. Not only when you believe God, it'll bring good cheer, but it'll bring some great comfort as well. In Luke 8:48, here, the woman with the issue of blood had been there for 12 years, spent all that she had. It didn't get any better, only grew the worse. And then Jesus said this, daughter, hey, be of good comfort. Hey, you believe God's going to bring some great cheer, good cheer. When you believe God's going to bring some great comfort in your life. When bad things happen, there's sometimes nothing's going to help you but standing up and saying, for I believe God, for I believe God. Paul could say this. Paul'd been through a bunch. And by the way, wasn't the last thing Paul ever went through, but Paul was able to help others. Why? Because he believed God. And when he did, it brought good cheer. It brought great comfort for this woman with the issue of blood. How about 2 Corinthians 1:3, where God reminds us that he is the God of all comfort. That's good right there, isn't it? That'll help you out. Whatever you're going through, he's the God of all comfort. There's folks in this room tonight that I can relate with some of you on some of the things you've been through, but there's some here tonight that you're going through some stuff that I have no idea how to be a help to you. I can do the normal thing, praying for you. Love you, praying for you. And I know that means a lot, but it's so nice when somebody has gone through the exact same thing and they can sit by you and they may not be able to say, I know how you feel, because you don't know how they feel, but you can say, I've been through what you're going through. And here's what helped me get through. I believe God. And it can help be a great comfort to others as you go through things. I believe God. It'll bring some great comfort. Number three, it'll bring gladness complete in Acts 14, 17. How about Hebrews 1 and verse 9? The oil of gladness above thy fellows. God can bring you some great joy. He can bring you some gladness complete. In John 15, John 16, 24, that your joy may be full. When you believe God, I get worried about people that stand back and say, well, I believe God. I'm just so happy about it. They Eeyore their way through their Christian life. Oh, life is great. Serving God's wonderful. You ask me why I'm happy. So I'll just tell you why. No, get some. If you believe God, you're going to have gladness complete. I'm not talking about walking around with a fake smile on all the time and pretending everything's good. But sometimes the greatest joys in your life can come during the hardest times, like Paul did here, because he stood up and said, I believe God. And it brought in his life, but not just his life, but those around him, it brought a gladness complete, a joy. Don't you know they enjoyed the fact that Paul said, stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I am. By the way, amen right there, Brother Paul. And he said, there, you're not going to lose anybody on the ship. That encouraged a few of them guys. And they stood there with gladness complete. I want to go on record day. I don't know if you picked up on this yet or not, but I believe God. Real quick, God believe God. Hey, nine things, and then we'll continue with the introduction here. Nine things. First of all, I believe God created in Genesis 1 and John 1. I believe that in John 3:16, God cared for this lost and dying world. God came, number three, to the world in the flesh in Galatians 4:4. And then he was consecrated in the flesh. In other words, he lived a clean life. Hebrews 4:15. He completed the work he came to do. He completed the work he came to do in John 19:30. You know what he said? It is finished. Hey, by the way, thank God. I'm going to do my best to stay by the time on the clock back there. It is finished. Thank God he said, it is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. Everybody right there. It is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. Because guess what? He completed the work. Hey, know what? He was crucified. In all the Gospels, you'll find that. Then number seven, he was carried to the tomb in Matthew 27 in verse number 60. Thank God he was carried to the tomb. Man, that's good, but guess what? You know what's even better? The fact that he came out like he said he would. Amen. He didn't stay dead. Thank God he won't stay gone. He came out like he said he would in John 2:19. No man taketh my life. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. And thank God he did take it up again. Matthew 28 and verse number 6. I know you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. Hey, he is not here. For he is risen like he said. He came out like he said he would. And then thank God in John 14:3 and Revelation 22, I believe that God is coming back like he said he would. Behold, I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Isn't that, you know what, John, I love the way John closed the Bible. He said, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He didn't just say, amen, come. He said, even so, come quickly, Lord. I believe he's coming again. I believe God. I believe God corrects his children. I believe God corrects his children. I'm glad God corrects his children. Hey, man, when I was a principal of Christian school, I felt there was one year I had 76 kids. I felt like they were all mine. And part of it, 46 years old. Anybody had 8 years of Christian school, teaching a Christian school. I don't want to scare the teachers. Thank God for teachers, by the way. But it'll do it to you. Hey, and every now and then, you know, I have to correct them every now and then. We have raised two children. We're raising two more children, thank God. Hey, hallelujah, by the way. I love my kids, but we're half done. Glory. Amen. I'm glad for the army because it took one away, and I'm glad for marriage because it took the other one out of my house. Hallelujah. I know you love your kids and all that, but I love mine too, but it's good when they start growing up and getting out of the house. Some people, we're empty nesters. I can't wait. Get so excited for what I was talking about. Correcting our children. We've had to do that in our life, where as a child, I had to be corrected. And then as a parent, I had to learn to correct my children. By the way, God loves us so much more than our parents ever loved us, or so much more than we ever love our children. And every now and then, he's got to take us out to the woodshed. What's a woodshed? If you don't know what that is, my heart bleeds for you. I believe God corrects his children. Number two, I believe God cares for his creation. I believe God also, you know what else he does? He convicts the careless. There's people, I don't know, maybe even the room tonight, that you're just here just because you're here. But and thank God you're in church, but I've been there sometime. I've sat out there just being in church, caring less about the things of God. Oh, but thank God that God cared enough about me to convict me in my backward state. I'm glad that he convicts the careless, and he challenges us to continue. Here in Acts 27, we're getting close to the message tonight. And I see a statement from the Apostle Paul. I'd like to stand beside Brother Paul and say the same thing. For I believe God. Let me say right here that my faith has been tested in the last few years and months and days. My faith has been tried in the last few years and months and days. But my faith has also been strengthened in the last few years and months and days. You know why? You know what helps me? Is if I stand back, I've got that choice. I can either believe God or I cannot believe him. But I believe God. Here's some reasons I want to, out of the text tonight, I want to give you just a few reasons why I believe God and why I believe everybody in this room should believe God. First of all, because of the man of God. First of all, because of the man of God. Amen. You know what he did in verse number 21, Acts 27:21? But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me." And I don't think he did that with pride in his heart. I think he was heartbroken a little bit. I think he was just reminding them. Paul didn't think he was anybody, but he knew he had got a message from God not to go when they had gone. The reason you ought to listen, first of all, unto the man of God, listen to him. Listen to him. Verse 21, I can't tell you how many heartaches have been avoided in my life when I simply put my pride aside and listened to the man of God. Anytime the man of God says, "Thus saith the Lord," you go ahead and mark it down. That's the right thing to do. Or that's the right thing not to do. Amen. Thus, here, listen to him. Listen to the man of God. I'd also have a hard time telling you of all the heartaches that have occurred when I chose to not listen to the man of God. Every week I have the privilege of hearing of this problem and that problem that's going on. And most of the time, though, the thought does enter my mind that Brother Paul mentioned here in this verse. If only they had listened. If only they had listened. Listen to the man of God. If you don't listen, you may be next. If I don't listen, I may be next. I just want to say here, thank God for the preacher. Amen. Thank God for the pastor of this church. And here, listen to him as he leads. As Paul said, I'm sure this is your pastor's heart. Be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Listen to the man of God. Number two, I believe God because the man of God first listened to him. Number one, he loved everyone. Look at verse number two. Really? The pastor loves everyone? Yes, he does. Well, it doesn't seem like it all the time. Remember, God corrects his children, and every now and then he has the pastor preach a message that might be on love and joy and forgiveness, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and you get mad at the man of God. But he's doing it because he loves you. He loved everyone. Here's what he says in verse number 22. He said, there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. You know, he said, hey, no one's going to die. Paul was excited that everybody was going to stay alive. He wasn't happy that just that he was going to stay alive. He loved everyone. Number three, listen to the man of God, did this. He led by example. He led by example. Look at verse number 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. There I see he led by example. He didn't just say, church, let's go soul winning. You know what he did? Soul winning. He didn't just say, church, sing during the song service. You know what he did? He sang during the song service. Well, McMath told me earlier that he got caught on the microphone singing one time during the song service. So I know he sings during the song service. Hey, think about this. Listen, the man of God, I believe God, not just because I love your pastor, but not just because of him, but because of many men of God that God has put in my life. The only reason I have this great privilege tonight is because I've listened to the man of God. Because I realized he loved everyone, and he did lead by example. Not at all a perfect example, but I echo what Paul told the church in Corinth. Again, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. He led by example. I believe God because the man of God, number two, in verse 24 through 26, there I know I can believe God because of the message of God. Because the man of God, and then also because of the message of God. In verse 24, it was delivered clearly, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given all them that are in the ship. It was delivered clearly. You know what that angel, you know what Paul said? The angel said, he said, here, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Be careful of those that would try and correct anything that's in the Bible. And now, don't be careful of them. Run from them. Mark them that cause division among you. But if the message of God is this, thus saith the Lord. Cannot argue with this and coming out on the winning side. But you still got a choice if we're going to listen or not. I know some listen, I know some don't. You know how I know? Because I've been in both those crowds. There have been times I've listened to the message of God. And there have been times that I've just sat back and I smile and nod and act polite, but I'm not listening at all. Hey, if you believe God, you can believe God because of the man of God. You can believe God because of the message of God. It was delivered clearly, and I believe that you sit in a congregation, in a church, where it's also delivered clearly, usually clearer than what I'm trying to do tonight, but I'm sure it's delivered clearly. When you leave out of here, you don't got to worry how this church stands on biblical issues. It's delivered clearly. How about this? Ye must be born again. Amen. You can't get to heaven without being born again. Ye must. Isn't it great how Jesus, how Nicodemus, Rabbi, we know that our teacher come from God because no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Jesus just brushed that aside, said, hey, you must be born again. Right? Oh, by the way, Nicodemus, you didn't hear me the first time. Marvel not that I say anything. Ye must be born again. Crowd this size, I'm wondering, does everybody in the room know that you've been born again? Do you know that you know? If you don't, man, you can get that taken care of tonight. Be the greatest. They were talking earlier about birthdays, physical birthdays. Wouldn't it be great if today, November the 6th, became your spiritual birthday where you got born again by the glory of God? You must be born again. Number two, how about this one? We get excited about that. You must be born again. Let's shout about this one too. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It's delivered clearly. Number two is declared confidently. Declared confidently. Here's what Paul says, here's what the messenger told me, and I declare it to you. Isn't it good to be in a church where the pastor goes, and instead of worrying about going to some periodical or some website or something like that, where he goes to the Word of God and begs God to give him something to help the church with. And he says, here's what God gave me. You know what? I'm not going to add to it. I'm not going to take away from it. It was so good for me. I'm going to share it with you. It was declared confidently because of the man of God who believed it. By the way, Paul believed what he talked. Isn't it nice to be around preachers that actually believe what they say? You know, one way is you watch how they live. And if they believe what they say, they're not perfect. I've never met a perfect pastor. I've never met a perfect preacher. Well, actually, I met the man from Galilee one day in November of 1982, but I'm talking about human beings that have never sinned. But guess what? Now, I'm not talking about they're all perfect. But hey, if he believes and he lives, then he believes it. Watch out. Well, wait, hey, think about this, the method of God. I think I skipped a page. We're getting done really early. I have to have notes. If I don't have notes to help me preach, I have notes to keep me from going all over. Declared confident because the man of God that believed it, because the message of God has always come to pass. Those that die without Christ go straight to and spend eternity in the torments of hell. Those that trust Christ as Savior and live in sin will receive punishment. Not always swift, but it's always sure. Those that trust Christ and live for Him will suffer persecution, but will enjoy an abundant life. Declared confidently. Number three, next, it was directed cautiously. Paul told them that if a few escape, then all will be lost. There's a right way and a wrong way to follow the message of God. God is a spirit, and that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're not allowed to just do our own thing and then expect to be blessed by God or act surprised when God takes us out to the woodshed to correct us. D.L. Moody said it'd be foolish to try and not do God's work God's way. I believe God. I believe God because of the man of God. I believe God because of the message of God. Number three, I believe God because of the methods of God. The methods of God. Verse 27 says this, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed, they drew near to some country. Look at verse number 33. And while the day was coming, Paul besought them all to take meat. So I had to stop there. Make sure you're still listening. You take meat. You already mentioned, I preached on something Sunday morning, preached about the fatted calf. The fatted calf. Bring here the fatted calf. Amen. He brought the calf, not the cauliflower. Amen. He didn't bring broccoli, he brought the Brahma. By the way, it was the fatted calf, not the fat-free calf. It wasn't the impossible calf, it was the meat calf. Anyway, I lost time there. I'm sorry. Verse 33. We sought them all to take meat, saying, this is the 14th day ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. What I'm trying to get to there is this here. First of all, the methods of God, sometimes they seem challenging. 14 days. Kind of doing the same thing over and over again. Kind of like Joshua march around the wall. Okay, God, what today? March around that wall. What about today? March around that wall. How many of us would have just marched around the wall? Or just said, God, that doesn't make sense. A lot of times the methods of God are challenging. In our human finite mind, they don't make sense. But it doesn't need to make sense. God said it. Do it. The method of God can be challenging. They've been without food for 14 days. There are times that following God's method will seem fruitless. It'll seem like it's taking longer than what we want. But it'll remind you of Isaiah 40 and 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Not they that get ahead of God. And they that just go ahead and do what they want to do and then ask God's blessings for it. They that wait upon the Lord, they follow the methods of God. I know it's easy to quote, but sometimes it's hard to live out. Waiting on God, even when His methods seem too challenging. Wait on God. How about this? In your faithfulness, in your forgiveness. Brother Bucky, in your forgiveness. He has forgiven me. I pick at Him all the time, and He still forgives me. Waiting on God when you fight the good fight. By the way, it's a good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. I like fighting. I like stirring things up. But there, hey, nothing better than fighting the good fight of faith. Believe God because of His methods. Even when you're facing the enemy, no matter how challenging, the methods of God are always the best. Not only that, but the methods of God are not just challenging, but they're cheering as well. These men had been toiling, but when they heard the message of God from the man of God, they became cheerful. Maybe that's why some don't get cheerful when they hear Bible preaching. Perhaps it's because they're not toiling in the methods of God. And the Bible preaching convicts them And instead of repenting and getting right, they get mad. I'm not preaching. I believe God wants me to pray. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not trying to correct anybody. I'm not trying to do anything wrong. I'm just saying I've been there where there's things in my heart that I knew weren't right with God. And a man of God got up and preached. And then I got convicted. And instead of coming to an old-fashioned altar, I got mad and walked out. Not during the service. Because I can put on a good face. And like a lot. I grew up in a Christian school. I know how to look right and act right. But that's not enough. If your heart isn't right, let it, hey, get right with God. It can be cheering. Not only that, but the methods of God are consistent. The method of God, hey, the methods of God, I believe God because the methods of God. They're consistent. Let me say this. I'm glad that I get to preach in churches like this because I can say this without worrying about everybody getting mad at me. I'd say it anyway because it's Bible truth, but I just don't got to worry about so many people getting mad at me. Think about this. The methods of God do not need to be updated. Amen. The methods of God do not need to be updated. Amen. I'm an old-timey independent fundamental Baptist. I'm not a new independent Baptist. I'm an old-timey one. Nothing needs to be updated. We don't need a new version. We don't need new methods. We need to stick with what has worked for thousands of years. You know what Paul told Timothy? In the things that thou hast heard of me among faithful witnesses, what did he say? New and improve them and give them to somebody else. He said, no, the same. Commit thou to faithful men. Why? Because the methods of God are consistent. They just need to be followed. And then lastly, I believe God because of the miracles of God. The miracles of God. They're astonishing, aren't they? One good thing. 30-some years, Brother the McMath family's been here and seen God do great things in this church. He could tell story. I blanked out. I'm sorry, Pastor. I blanked out when he said tell stories on a Stephon. I usually don't get that good of an opportunity, and I just blanked out. Couldn't do it. But I'm sure if you asked him to tell some stories about what God has done in and through this church in all these years, he would just be, man, it's astonishing. God has done this, and God has done that. God has done this. Think about 37, they survived the storm. In verse 44, none of them died. An astonishing miracle of God. In the next chapter, that venomous viper hung on the arm of Paul. What'd Paul do? He just shook it off. And they looked at him and said, yep, he's going to die. And then when he didn't die, they stood back and said, he must be a god. And Paul said, no, I'm not. I just believe in the astonishing miracles of God. I believe him because of what he's done. And some would say, well, I haven't seen any astonishing miracles of God. Then you haven't been paying attention. The greatest of all miracles is that God forgave me of my sins and allowed me. Hey, wouldn't it have been good enough? I don't know about anybody else in the room, but I know it would have been good enough for me if I'd have gone to God as a 9-year-old boy and said, God, please forgive me. I don't want to pay for my sin. God, please just don't send me to hell. That would have been good enough. Amen. But God is not a just good enough God. He said, Matt, you're forgiven. But guess what? Not only can you don't have to go to hell, now you can't go to hell. Oh, but guess what? It gets better. In our church, I tell them it gets gooder and gooder. It gets gooder because guess what? Not only can you can't go to hell, but guess what? Now you're a child of the King. I went down a beggar. I came up a child of the King. Guess what? You get a sup at my table continually. By the way, he's got some good food there too. You get a sup at my table. And then when you die, guess what? You've got an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, which fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's an amazing miracle. I know some in the room probably deserved to be saved, but I sure didn't. I'm saying that sarcastically. Nobody ever deserved to get saved. I'm just glad that I got born again. It's an astonishing miracle. It's also, I believe, the miracles of God because of the miracles, number two, because they're abundant. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. I don't know what that word Selah means. I'm not a Bible scholar enough to know exactly what it is, but I heard a southern preacher say it this way one time. Say, what do you think about that? Yeah, man. The even, the God, he daily loadeth us. He doesn't just give us a little bit every day. He daily loadeth us. Thank God he's been good to me today. I woke up breathing his air. Pretty good stuff. I got to spend the day in northern New Mexico. Amen. If you don't think that's something, go live in Berlin for a little while. Hallelujah. You'll love northern New Mexico. Daily. Oh, they're abundant. They're amazing. What God's done for me and continues to do for me daily, it amazes me. I'm not entitled to any of His miracles, but I'm so thankful He allows me to experience His amazing miracles. Guess what? I believe He's thankful His miracles. You know why? They're accurate. He knows right where I am. He knows right what I need, and He's always on time with His miracles. Even when we think He's late. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. Jesus, when He heard the news, He said, let's just wait for a while. Well, our common sense would tell you, just get over there, Jesus. And Jesus said, no, I know exactly what I'm doing, and I'll do it exactly on time. And thank God, they're always accurate. And also, you know what next? They're attainable, too. They're attainable. Anybody else in the room like hearing stories of great Christians of the past? How God did this, and God did that, and God did that. That we serve the same God that they did. The same miracles they saw, they're attainable to us today. Problem is, here's what God helped me with so many years ago, Brother McMath. They're at Rio Grande. I love serving there. One of the hardest things I ever did was leaving there to go to Bible college. I loved being there. He mentioned Baptist Regionals. Man, I loved Baptist Regionals. That was the highlight of my year. I loved it. I loved being around the kids, Brother Stephon. My IQ was on the same level as the third graders. So I loved being around the kids. It was a great time. I loved it. And then going, leaving that to go to Bible college, to move to California of all places. Are you kidding me? Hey, boy. Scary, but I forgot totally what I was talking about. Oh, God, they're attainable. Not long before I went there, I came across a story in Judges with Gideon. If the Lord be on our side, where be all the mighty miracles our fathers have told us of? I'm going somewhere with this. I used to hear folks, my granddad, my dad, other folks I knew that were quite advanced in years, they would tell me about these great things they saw God do, how there'd be, you know, 3-week, month-long revivals and just towns being changed, bars being shut down, and all this stuff going on. I started thinking, God, how come I'm not seeing all those things? And me trying to be a spiritual giant, God said, because you haven't tried to do very much for me. Okay, God, forget I asked that question. I'm just going to go ahead. No, He woke me up. It made me realize the miracles they saw are still attainable today. God is still on the throne. Is His arm short that it cannot say? Is His ear heavy that it cannot hear? No, He still can. They're still attainable today, the miracles of God. The reason that a lot of us haven't experienced these great miracles is simply because we haven't stepped out by faith. And what did that great missionary say? Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. And he saw God do great things. Why? Because he realized they were attainable because of the miracles of God. I know I got to shut down here. Let me remind you, I believe God. And I'm hoping that you would stand by Brother Paul, not necessarily by me, but stand by Brother Paul and say, Brother Paul, thank you for the reminder. I believe God. I believe God. Let me close by saying this. I believe God, He pricks the sinners. By the way, He did that for Paul, didn't He? When he was Saul of Tarsus. It is hard for thee. He didn't ask, is it hard? No, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. If the Holy Ghost of God tonight is politely pricking at your heart, maybe you need to be born again. I don't ever want anybody to doubt their salvation, but I want you to know that you're on your way to heaven. By the way, you can know. And if you're going, you know. Somebody as big as the Holy Ghost of God moves in your heart and you don't know, something wrong somewhere. God pricks the sinners. Not just the unsaved sinners, by the way, the saved sinners. Any saved sinners here tonight that, you know what, God, you spoke to me, I need to do some business with you. Not only does He prick the sinners, He preserves the saints. Aren't you glad the Bible teaches that once you're saved forever? He preserves the saints. You don't got to keep it. By the way, you can't keep it. He also protects the saints. Safest, greatest place you could ever be is in the middle of the perfect will of God. And then lastly, I believe He promotes the sanctified. You want to see God do some great things in your life? Work on getting sanctified. Work on getting rid of some things that don't belong. Not just getting rid of things that don't belong, but getting He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Get there. How can I get rid of things? Get closer to God. You'll start getting rid of some things. I had something I dealt with for years. Every night I'd go to bed, God forgive me for. What was it, preacher? I'm just going to let your mind wander. It could be a little thing. It could be huge. You don't know. And by the way, you're probably wrong. Unless you're thinking to the bigger stuff. Every night, God, please forgive me for. God, please forgive me for. Knowing full well, the next day, I planned on doing that thing over again. I'm convinced God never even heard those prayers. I know thou that hears prayers, they all come. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Then there came a day, came under conviction. Brother Bob Johnson was preaching there in missions conference at Rio Grande Baptist Church. And I said, God, I've had enough. I've tried to do away with it. I've tried to do away with it. God, I brought it to an old-fashioned altar. And all I didn't even have to worry about getting rid of it. I just decided, God, here, you take this. I just want to get closer to you. That's been 20-some years ago. I'm not saying I've never sinned since then, but that one has never invaded my life ever again. Because I just tried to get close to him, and he promoted the sanctified. Listen, do you believe God? You can. You can believe him because of the man of God. You can believe him because of the message of God. You can believe him because of the methods of God. You can believe him because of the miracles of God. If you believe him, it'll show in your life. Father, thank you for the word you've given us. Thank you for Paul, what he went through. Thank you, more importantly, God, for the precious promises found in your word. God, as we enter the invitation, we ask, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. A group this size, God, I would venture to say there's probably a few that need some encouragement. There may be even some, as we mentioned, about you correcting your children. There may be some tonight that would have to come and say, God, I'm so sorry for these things. Would you forgive me, God, as you've been correcting them? And others tonight, there may even be some here that do not even know for sure if they died right now where they would spend eternity. I'm asking you to speak to every heart tonight and help us to do business with you during the invitation. We love you. Pray for all that takes place in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please, with every head bowed, every eye closed, as the music begins to play tonight. Listen, if God spoke to your heart, would you come down, pastor down front, he'll meet you. And by the way, as I said, the man of God loves everyone. I know your pastor loves the people of this church. You can come, if you want him to pray with you, he'll pray with you, he'll find somebody to pray with you. But if God spoke to your heart, listen, especially about something specific tonight, is there something you need to place on an old-fashioned altar? You don't got to come down and tell what it is necessarily, but you can just say, God, I need to get rid of this thing. Now, God knows. But is there something you need to deal with? God, you pricked my heart. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you said you correct your children. Preacher said you correct your children. God, I know I've been born again, but God, I haven't been living like I should. Thank you for correcting me. Then let me ask you this. Probably should ask this at the beginning, but do you know that you know that you've been born again? Is there anybody in the room tonight that would say, Preacher, I'm not even sure. Let me ask it this way. If you died right now, would you wake up in heaven or would you wake up in hell? Or do you even know? Anybody in the room that would raise their hand and say, Preacher, I don't know where I'd wake up, but I'd sure like to know. Anybody in the room like that, you raise your hand and say, Preacher, I'd like to see how the Bible says I can have my sins forgiven and heaven is my home. Amen. Well then, child of God, do you believe God? Listen, I hope you...